Hello, I am Mayor Watt. This is Ohmtown.com, and this show is the Ohmtown Daily News Show. As mayor, I get called away quite often, and so today I was supposed to stream at 11 o'clock. I got called away, and now I'm here to stream for the next hour. If you have questions or comments, feel free to throw them in chat. I'm going to go through the news. I've already selected, I think it's only about 15 of it, articles from Ohmtown. But whenever you go over to Ohmtown, it's usually updated. I don't know, maybe depends on the news cycle, but there's sometimes 30 pages worth of article. 30 pages worth of articles translates to about, 700 headlines. Yeah, and it runs a pretty broad spectrum. So definitely swing by Ohmtown.com, become a citizen. You can now sign up via Apple. All you have to do is, we'll just try to log in. You'll see how it works. All of the news that gets aggregated falls into one of six main categories: create, news, education, entertainment, social, and technology. These are the areas that I am interested in. These are the areas that I have the most experience in. Within them, they also have about 50 shows. And so there should be something of interest for everybody, even if you are a general news type of person like me. You'll find something in there. And I don't like to focus too much on one thing. That's why there's 50 of them in here. Along with the general news. Ohmtown Daily News Show is basically a daily news show that takes a little bit from all of these categories and then discusses it for about an hour. I'd like to do longer, but again, I'm mayor of Ohmtown and I get called away quite often. If you are interested in being a host or a co-host, feel free to let me know. And if I get some more people to follow me here over on Twitch and get that goal to 100%, I can dedicate even more time. I would love to do it now. I had planned for the last 2 weeks to be streaming full time, but like usual, I get pulled away. That said, my intention is to spend more time every day, a little bit more time online and talking about news, politics, tech, society, business, etc. And today I'm probably going to go a little bit deeper into the business side of things. But stick around. There's games in here. There's tech in here. There's politics in here. There's business. All science is always intermixed in this. And I hope you find it entertaining, but please let me know. You can always go over to YouTube and look at past episodes. You can download the podcast. There's about 145 episodes. I haven't moved everything over yet. It's just the older back catalog is, well, it's older and most people like to stay absolutely current. But you can go back and look at the history of my prognostications about business, technology, science, society, etc. But one news article kind of sent me down a rabbit hole that I had been meaning to do, and I might actually end up focusing quite a bit on it, because depending on who you are, if you are charismatic and loud, people tend to pay attention to you. I'm not either of those, I don't think, but I do have an opinion and I do have some experience, and so I think I'm going to start talking more about what these other prognosticators are saying, and mainly Jim Cramer, because they have a show and they have funds and they're in charge of quite a lot of assets, but I think it's mostly kinetic energy, and I don't think that they're particularly accurate. And I'm going to go through their top 10 stock picks for 2022 and show that 30% of the time, they're right 100% of the time. So I guess they should be followed. I don't know. I think it's about showmanship and not necessarily being really good at predicting what's going to happen in the market, because people are still being waylaid by inflation and whatnot in their investment tactics. And they shouldn't have been surprised by this. I knew about what was coming a year and a half ago. And the main indicator of that really was more than a year and a half ago. Actually, it was the beginning of 2020, when some guy came out of the woodwork and said that cheap food, the era of cheap food is over. Well, when you hear that and you kind of start digging around, what is going on? What are they actually talking about? How is the era of cheap food over? Well, now we know. But let's get into today's news, and at some point I will switch over to talking about this Jim Cramer thing. So Americans believe that it takes $2.2 million to be, quote-unquote, to be wealthy. Here's how much you need to invest to get there. So let's just click the link, because I haven't actually followed it. I've only looked at this via the headline. It's from CNBC in a section called Select. And I'm not sure how much it will actually walk me through this, but it says Select breaks down how much you need to invest over 10, 20, 30, 40, and 50 years to reach $2.2 million. Well, if you're going to only invest over 10 years, you better have a high rate of return. And that means that your risk is going to be high. And when you are trying to retire or be wealthy in 10 years and you have to hit $2.2 million, it's pretty simple. Move the decimal point. Good luck doing this, by the way. Jasmine Suknanen is the author of this over at CNBC.com. So a recent Charles Schwab Modern Wealth survey found that Americans now believe they need to have an average net worth of 2.2. And so this is net worth, okay? This is all of your assets and everything, of $2.2 million in order to be considered wealthy. It's an increase from the magic number of 1.9 million a year ago, but still falls short of the net worth was considered wealthy in 2018, 2019, 2020. And they go over a little bit more as things go on in this article. I won't read the whole thing, but let's see here. There's one line. I think I read it. Yeah, for context, future retirees who plan to live off of $50,000 a year will need to save $1.25 million using the 4% rule to carry them through the rest of their non-working lives. So if you retire at 62.5, you want to spend 50 grand a year, which is, we're talking about everything associated with existing as a 62 and a half year old. $50,000 isn't necessarily going to get you far depending on your health. So my advice is start getting healthy. Start changing your lifestyle, start working out, start walking more. And I can't really urge that enough. I've been rather sedentary in my lifestyle, and it catches up to you, folks. So if you're young, keep eating healthy, or change to being into eating healthy. Get some good fiber in you. Get some good whey protein. Eat healthier, more fruits and vegetables. Shy away from sugar. Once you nix your sugar from your diet, even the slightest amount of sugar makes you crash. It's quite fascinating. So after 90 days of me not eating any supplementary sugar, candy, soft drinks, etc., now if I eat like a pack of Pez, I start crashing really fast. It's quite interesting. And the slightest bit of sweet in food naturally is actually very, very sweet. Something that was lost to me as I was growing up. But at any rate, so it says Select wanted to see what it would take to reach $2.2 million in net wealth based on 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So if you start now and you're 10, by the time you're set to retire, if you are putting away X amount of money, you will end up over 50 years. So you have to invest $437 over 50 years each month, $437 each month to hit $2.2 million. Now, if you want to, if you want to be considered wealthy and you only want to do it in 10 years, you'll have to throw out close to $13,000 a month. So just understand, this is $2.2 million. Now move the decimal over three and you've got $2.2 billion. And you have to do the same thing with your investment each month to reach that point. So why do we have multiple billionaires out there? A lot of people say, you know, well, that money isn't just sitting there. No, it absolutely is just sitting there. It may be getting reinvested. Again, I've said this in other things. It may be in a bank. It may be in an investment vehicle. It may be driving something somewhere. But that money is expected to have a return on its investment. Okay, so no, it's not just sitting there, but it is just sitting there because at any moment, somebody can withdraw that money that is invested if it is a net value to somebody's wealth. Then it's owned. That wealth is owned by somebody, which means it must be sitting there ready to be exfiltrated from whatever vehicle it is sitting in. And I hope you all understand that. A billionaire has a net present value of some billions of dollars. And if they want to, they could extract that from wherever it might be. They might pay fines and penalties and extraordinary taxes and whatnot, but that doesn't mean that it isn't theirs to grab at any given moment. So, for example, we assume that you're starting with $0 and earning a moderate 7% average yearly return after adjusting for inflation. Moderate. The average stock market return is historically 10% annually before inflation. Yeah, I'd have to look again at that. I don't think that that's really, that might be some cherry picking there. But I'll go and look and see. So yeah, there's a couple of apps. Robinhood is good, but you have to be careful because you don't actually own anything there. It's you basically own like, how is it referred to? I believe it's referred to as proxy shares. So what like AMC, what happened several times now is with meme stocks, they've actually, the stocks weren't there to trade, but they positioned it so that you could trade. And there's a little more complexity there. And I didn't dig into the reads about it. But you, there's a difference between trading the shares and actually owning them. And then there's Acorns, which actually allows you to slowly grow your acorn into a mighty oak. So and if I'm wrong about Robinhood, get in touch with me. I'm happy to chat about it. But let's get on to the next article. And the next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel, and it's inflation. Oh, and you know what I didn't do? I didn't throw this link. The road to Ohmtown is paved with missed links in chat. So if you're not in the, if you're listening via the podcast, then I'm sorry that you're not going to get the links until you look at the show notes. But this article here is what kind of triggered me into looking at Jim Cramer. And because I've known about Jim Cramer, I've looked at his stuff periodically, but I've never really, it hasn't been my appeal. You know, loud and boisterous, it's attention getting, but what really was ever the efficacy of his decision making? And I've always been told and I've always read that he has a very low success rate in terms of predicting what direction a stock is going to go. We're talking like 30% from my understanding. And everybody that has ever spoken to me about stocks basically says that's a show. And that's what's making money, not anything else. So the host of Mad Money said right now the best outcome would be for the averages to come down quickly so Fed Chair Jay Powell can get it over with. It makes no sense. That has no value. Says, inflation won't come down anytime soon if Tuesday's rally lasts. Well, Tuesday's rally ended up with it being flat right now at 1 o'clock Eastern. So Bitcoin is down almost 500. The stock markets are pretty flat, you know. But the Dow actually dropped like 400 earlier in the day. So is it going to be a rally? Hell no. Let's click the link. It'll take us over to CNBC and Mad Money with Jim Cramer. The article is by Crystal Herr. And it has little key points, which I really appreciate. But it says CNBC's Jim Cramer said Tuesday's market gains need to come down in order to for the Federal Reserve to beat inflation as soon as possible. No, what needs to happen is forcing margins to be high during a recession. That's the reason why there's inflation. People have money, but they would like their money to make money, so they're not spending it. But unfortunately, big companies see a lot of money in the supply and they say, well, we have to acquire it at all costs, because if there's a lot of money being invested, then interest rates aren't very high. So let's start extracting that wealth from the middle class and screwing over as many people as possible. And it's the exact same thing that I have an opinion of regarding this gas tax break. We are in the process of hobbling the federal government through business processes, and we cannot run the government like a business. Most businesses collapse within 5 years. We can't keep people married. We can't keep businesses operating. Why would we want to merge these concepts of partnership and businesses being the go-to solution for everything in government? I mean, the reason why I understand business, private, public partnerships. That's fine. But the reason why SpaceX is so successful is public money funded that. But it's generating private wealth. So when we continue to treat the government like it is a business process, yet not following business practices, government contracting, for instance, has a very constrained competitive range, whereas other people, other businesses, when they shop out something for bids, there's a lot of competition, but the government is verboten from going out and finding more people to keep in the range, and isn't as public as, and it's more complex as it should be. But that's what's happening. Big public money is going to private sector. And taxes on gasoline, when you remove it, doesn't mean that the business is going to go, oh, okay, well, we'll lower our prices 18 cents because that's the federal gas holiday. No, they're going to jack the price up because more people are using gas, which means it's in greater demand, which means that you have to extract as much wealth as possible, because everybody's ideology in business is whack in that they think that businesses have one objective: make money. But that's not what it is. A business's main objective is to solve a problem and in that value be compensated. But people are doing it at an irrational level because they feel they can. Not to mention, well, I mean, to me, it's sociopathic, but I say that often enough that people might be getting burned out about it. So let's continue. I mean, there's more to this, but I follow what amounts to associative thinking. It is associative thinking. I end up going down a rabbit hole, and sometimes I don't go back to each step that I would have if I was more focused on a particular topic. So I've said a lot, and we'd have to go back and talk about it. But let's continue on. Otherwise, I'll be here much longer than you want me to. The next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel, Gen X Amid the Pandemic, How Their Finances, Shopping Behavior, and Digital Usage Look. Gen Xers' share of the total household wealth is barely half of that held by baby boomers, and impacts brought on by the coronavirus pandemic haven't helped this financially unstable cohort. In the Gen X Amid the Pandemic report, Insider Intelligence assesses U.S. Gen Xers' finance and how they've been affected by the pandemic. Do you work in the finance industry, et cetera? It begins their marketing effort. Business Insider put together this little report. It's from Insider Intelligence. And it says, let's see here. So U.S. internet users who will be in survival mode in 2021 by generation. And basically survival mode is existing day to day. paycheck to paycheck kind of a thing, but worse than that. Actually, they have a little note down there. It says survival mode defined as focused on day to day as I try to get myself and or my family through the next year. So, it's a little bit heavier handed than that. So Gen Z, which is 18 to 23, is 25% will be in survival mode, whereas Gen Xers, 40 to 55, are 42. And then baby boomers are 43. And this is all because, really, greedflation has siphoned as much wealth as humanly possible at this stage up to the upper echelon. And there's a list of billionaires. What is the point of hundreds of billions of dollars if not to essentially control? And what's the purpose of control? You have to have some radically different ideological bent and have to store up that much wealth so that you can buy everything to control it in your particular ideological way. So they talk about Gen X financial health. While the average household income for Gen X reached $106,000 pre-tax in 2019, the share of total household wealth is barely half of that held by baby boomers. With no sign of retirement in sight, Gen X has had to adapt to a completely digital remote work atmosphere. There's no problem with that, except that it hinders socializing. And a lot of that socializing is where bonds are created to a greater degree. Gen X spending habits, they've become more digital in their shopping during the pandemic. Boomers just turned off. And there's much more, but it's one of these things that you have to kind of sign up for or join Insider Intelligence. So let's continue on. This is one that I thought was really interesting. Oh, let me throw this. I didn't throw it in chat. I swear. I'm just falling apart, folks. The next one is something that I watched online before my aggregator saw it, and I thought it was really interesting. So an airline failed to find his lost luggage, and a YouTuber used his AirTags to go straight to in an airport office filled with unclaimed bags, but they had said to him that there was nothing in it. They couldn't find it. They don't have any idea. It's a lost bag, etc. But he had an AirTag in it, which is the supposed use, or it is the use for AirTags, although some criminal and malcontents use it for tracking people. An AirTag not only found his missing bags, it did so despite the airport's baggage carrier, Swissport. So it's Miller says that the luggage containing $4,500 worth of cycling equipment went missing after he flew into a Melbourne airport on Singapore Airlines. Officials told him his luggage hadn't made the connecting flight and that it would be connected as soon as it arrived. Yeah, that didn't happen. So it was a week, as far as I understand it. This article is over at appleinsider.com, and it's by William Gallagher. I'll be buying these AirTags, not because of this article, but I haven't really had a need to because I don't travel anymore. I have no need to travel. The internet takes me everywhere. Anyway, once the bags had arrived at the airport, Miller's AirTags reported their location to him, and he expected to hear from the officials. However, Swissport failed to contact him, and he was unable to reach anyone despite many phone calls. He actually drove over to the office and hunted it all down, and I thought that it was brilliant. And they were rather friendly regarding this, and I don't think that that will be well received. They would rather, probably at a later date, the policy and procedure will be to block anybody's attempt to get into the inner sanctum. Yeah, and that's a shame. I mean, the terrorists have won. Let's go on to the next article, which is about ARK Survival Evolved. I watch streamers play this on the regular, and I think it's a fun game. I'm waiting for ARK 2 to come out because the resolution will be much, much, much higher. As part of the new ARK Survival Evolved DLC, Fjordr, you'll be able to get your mitts on the... I now call it Mew Mew because of Thor. Anyway, Mjolnir sword skin. So getting Mjolnir is quite a lengthy quest, as you'd expect from the Hammer of the Gods. Of course, you could just use console commands and get the resources you need, but you're not going to take that easy way out, right? 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 Anyway, if you follow the link through Ohmtown over to PC Gamer and read Lauren Atkins' article on how to get Mjolnir in ARK Survival Evolved. And again, it is a fun game, but I don't like its interface. I really don't like its interface. And you have to kind of run around and find mini bosses and get all kinds of resources. And you have to kill the dragon and the broodmother and the Megapithecus. Or just issue a console command. Yeah, I don't have time for anything other than talking about the news, so I'd probably end up running a command just so I can see it. Let's continue on to the next article, and we'll come back to this Jim Cramer thing. If you're not interested in it, then you don't have to stick around when I start talking about it. But I want to talk about his picks for 2022, and that it's mainly driven, it seems, by hedge funds investing in it, which when you think about it, they have the ability to manipulate the numbers in a stock, mainly because they have so much wealth that they can leverage, and they can lever it up or down and make margins, make profit on the margins, the arbitrage revenue generation. So the next article is over in the Hatch Ideas channel. A former Tesla worker rejects a $15 million payout, which was awarded following claims of racial abuse. A former, and this is something that I talked about a while back. A former Tesla worker has rejected a $15 million payout, according to San Francisco court filing. Owen Diaz, a former Tesla elevator operator, has accused the company of racial abuse. Diaz won a payout of $137 million in November of 2021. But it was later slashed to $15 million. Owen Diaz, a former Tesla elevator operator rejected that $15 million payout, and because he was racially abused. So let's click the link. It'll take us over to businessinsider.com, and it's an article by Beatrice Nolan. And it has a picture of a Tesla Model X and Elon Musk. I think that's the car. I don't think it was an X that I saw. Anyway, I cannot believe that $137 million payout was reduced to 15. I mean, it's only 10%. What is this, a college book return? So let's see. Insider reported that Tesla had argued the amount should be lowered to $600,000 and filed a motion for a new trial. The motion was denied by the judge on condition Diaz accepted the payout. What? The motion was denied on the condition that Diaz accepted the payout. Well, okay, that means that they just take the 600 grand. Anyway, lawyers for Diaz wrote in the filing that by rejecting the slashed payout, he was asking a jury to evaluate what Tesla did to him and provide just compensation for the torrent of racist slurs that was directed at him. Tesla and Diaz's lawyers did not immediately respond to Insider's request for comment made outside normal working hours. I don't think either way they would comment other than by saying that they're in a lawsuit. Diaz alleged in his lawsuit that Tesla colleagues at the company's Fremont, California assembly plant would verbally abuse black workers, once calling him, telling him to, quote unquote, go back to Africa. Why in this day and age, man, is that in anybody's lexicon, you idiots? He alleged that the constant abuse led him to suffer weight loss and sleepless nights, Insider reported. Yeah, but the CEO and the employer is just going to say, if you're not happy, leave. And this is what happened with a cryptocurrency company. If you're unhappy, leave. That's not the problem. That's not why people should leave, just because they're unhappy. If they leave, then it's tacit approval that your crap behavior is okay to perpetrate on human beings. But in your sick minds, you say, well, if you're unhappy, leave. No, change. Quit being a twat. Tesla's also fighting a lawsuit brought by a former worker that accused the company of fostering a culture of sexual harassment, as well as a lawsuit from one of its investors that accuses the company of creating a toxic work culture. Shocker. It's the trifecta of this happens in the dark until somebody shines the light on it. So shine, baby, shine. The next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel. Trump aides didn't know someone was filming Trump on January 6th until the House committee got the footage. So Trump aides had no idea a filmmaker was recording Donald Trump on January 6th, report says. Yeah, because behavior would have been different until behind closed doors, behind a wall of fear, uncertainty, and doubt and ignorance. We used to call it in Dungeons and Dragons the wall of ignorance and fear. The little D&D dungeon, the Dungeon Master screen, the DMG, or Dungeon Master screen is where my DMG would be. Anyway, so of course, people behave differently when they think that they're not being watched. And that's why there is always a camera on government officials. That's why there's always microphones around a government official. That's why telephones are regularly monitored by other people, because promises and lies are made that cannot be done. And we know for a fact that Trump can't stop telling half-truths or non-truths altogether. I mean, there's so much documentation of this that it's laughable that this person's running for office again. Trump aides had no idea. And, you know, anybody that argues, hey, you know, he's did great and all of this stuff. Anybody can do this stuff. Anybody. You know, it's not like Trump is the one that's running around doing everything. No, he's telling other people to go do something and giving them agency to abuse others. making phone calls when it was tactical for him to make a phone call and try and overturn a government, a democratic election that has zero evidence of any fraud. Suddenly he's engaged, but otherwise it's kind of like the mafia and gangs. It's beyond arm's reach because a proxy is telling somebody else to go and do this, and then the abuse happens. But there is plenty of evidence to show that there was no fraud in the election. None. You know, particularly in Georgia, if you watch the trials or the hearings. Trump aides had no idea that a filmmaker was recording Donald Trump on January 6th, report says. The footage was subpoenaed by the January 6th committee, and Politico said it was handed over. It is not yet clear what new information the video may have on Trump actions that day. Aides to Donald Trump had no idea. And therefore, this is why things need to be surreptitiously monitored, because all of that on my screen. And I always refer to the business plot. This identical thing of basically trying to install a fascist government under business control, fascism, was attempted previously, and unironically, it comes from his era of existence, his parents' era of existence. The acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, you know. At any rate, so we'll see what happens as things come out in these hearings. I suspect that there will be more, and the people that need to hear it will summarily dismiss it. And nobody can tell me how they've benefited from having him in office, or even how the people have benefited from having Biden in office. Why? It's because it's primarily business driven that impacts the private individual, the middle class. There are people that have great wealth and produce, and many, many other consumers. It's the Pareto rule, 80-20 rule. 20% create what 80% consume. Well, let's start peeling back the onion. Shine that light. I want to see more about this, and it needs to be brutally honest. And the hatred and vitriol and all of that that came out at people who were just doing their job. There was no conspiracy to overthrow a democratic election. Or I should say, to drive it towards a Democrat. It was an honest election. There was no fraud perpetrated except by the ones that were caught. And ironically, they were Republican, right? I said it in a previous one that there was a guy who said that his dead wife voted Democrat, and it turned out that it was him that voted in her name to try and trump up controversy. This article, by the way, is over at Business Insider by Tom Porter, and you can go over there, you can follow the link. The moment that this person finds out that they are being recorded, he's dumb enough not to know that he's being recorded. And so all of these recordings to state government was recorded, and therefore it is evidence of his poor behavior, bad behavior. And I hope it's declared illegal. There's people around me that think that he was doing a bang up job. And I'm like, well, I don't want the content of his character being the one that's driving, even if it's good. I mean, the dude slept around, knocked up people, paid off prostitutes, and everybody says, well, that's his social life. No, that's the content of his character. You know, why vote for somebody that, what if he was dating your daughter, for crying out loud? You know, what would you want him in your family tree? And well, I guess maybe if he gives you money, right, you'll swallow everything. Anyway, the next article is over on the Hatch Ideas channel. Demand for adjustable rate mortgages surges as interest rates make biggest jump in 13 years. I would not get into an ARM for a mortgage nowadays. This is going to bite you on the butt, and it's going to bite hard. Mortgage applications to purchase a new home rose 8% last week compared with the previous week, bolstered in part by demand for adjustable rate mortgages. And people think that it might decline in time for their ARM to be refied. But there's no real reason for a company to, in the short term, accept the risk of you transitioning into a 30-year mortgage. So if they know that your ARM is going to flip and you're going to start getting higher and higher interest rates, the chances of it going down are slim and none. And they can always say that they require 20% down. And when your property value is spiked, you'll just have to siphon out equity just to refi into a 30-year loan. And then you lose those gains because you're going to have to put it all back in. Just to, because it costs money to refi, folks. It's not something that you just, oh, I'm going to refi and suddenly it's a 30-year. No, it costs money. So be careful what you're getting into. I know one person that has not even, they've decided that they're not even going to purchase until interest rates go down, but then they lose equity in whatever it is they're renting, leasing. Demand for adjustable rate mortgages spike. And it's an article over at CNBC by Diana Olick. The average loan size at just over $420,000, is well below the 460 peak earlier this year and is potentially a sign that home price growth is moderating. No, I don't think so. Let's see. Sales of existing homes fell in May. Purchase applications increased for the second straight week, driven mainly by conventional applications, and the ARM share of applications jumped back to over 10%. So the average loan size was $420,000. We shall see where this goes. Let's follow the trend, right? The next article is, in a rare interview, Kate Bush raves about Stranger Things and reveals the meaning of running up that hill. It's really interesting because for the longest time, I don't think anybody really understood what running up that hill was about. I remember hearing something about it. And this reminded me, hey, maybe read this article. So let's click this article and read it. It's over at Variety.com by Tania, Tania Garcia. I may be pronouncing it wrong. I'm really sorry. And so Kate Bush has returned from the 80s into 2022 because of Stranger Things, because it is the token that keeps a person grounded in the real world and not in the upside down. If I'm spoiling it for you, guess what? It's been around for a long time and you should probably watch it. And I'm not really spoiling anything. Go and watch the series. Just binge it. It's a few episodes and you can do it. Anyway, following the premiere of the sci-fi show's fourth season, Running Up That Hill became the top-selling and most streamed title in the U.S. Bush released a rare statement on her website shortly after, gushing over her love for the show. They binged-watched it. She binged-watched it. Well, she says that she's more into gardening now than the music, and that she's fascinated and she thinks it's ridiculous that people are inspired by her babushka look from the video, and that there's a whole babushka TikTok trend. And the reason, the meaning behind Running Up That Hill, which actually was supposed to be called A Deal with God before the the label said, you should change it. That's a little bit contentious. So they changed it to Running Up That Hill. And it's about a man and a woman swapping essentially their spirit. So swapping bodies and having to go through what the other one goes through, which I think is kind of fascinating. I don't get it out of the lyrics, though. So this actually, you know, it gives a different context. And as I say, context matters. Let's continue on to the next article. It's over in the Continuity Report. Ed Sheeran scores second victory in copyright trial as judge awards him $1.1 million in costs. This guy has been kind of tagged again and again in copyright trials for things that are, I guess, dangerously close to others. I don't quite get it. Just let people create. And it's one of the reasons why I can't do Mix War here on Twitch or on YouTube or anywhere, really. It's because of copyright and that you have to clear certain rights. Even if you mix, I mean, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Let people make music and people will go and buy your music. I mean, eventually you're going to be some obscure whatever and nobody will know about your music. And then what? You know, at least allowing people to utilize the music in a transformative way allows them to keep on driving interest. You know, what I want to do with Mix War is allow people to mix any music. And then all of the music that's used in the mix is, it has to be transformative. And you document the songs that are used so that everybody can go and get those songs and they can do a mix war, which is fight over remixing music. Obviously, if it's identical, then we just call it out and it gets removed. But, you know, let people make music. Who cares if somebody takes a little bit of a sample? You know, most of the time, music that becomes popular is an accident or an educated guess. And I think that society just needs to rise up and say, enough of this crap. DMCA is used as a battering ram instead of a scalpel, and let people be transformative. You know, spur creativity, but enabling people creates competition, and you can't have competition because then prices and evolution of the market has to take place. You can't do that. Even though there is a lot of competition in the industry, it's just not the kind of competition that I really want for the opportunity to make Mix War a thing. You know, I want to be able to use people's music to be transformative and create something entertaining without having to spend like countless dollars trying to clear and time. Oh my God. It's so difficult to clear music. Anyway, so let's click this link. It takes us over to Ed Sheeran, score second victory. It's an article over at Variety by K.J. Yossman. And so it says, in April, Judge Zaccaroli ruled that Sheeran had not plagiarized a 2015 song titled O.Y. by Sammy Chokra, or Chokri, in his hit Shape of You. Sheeran wrote Shape of You alongside Snow Patrol singer Johnny McDade and producer Steve Mack. During the trial, he used his legal name of Stephen McCutcheon, who were co-claimants in the action. Yeah. So, good. I'm glad that they successfully won this copyright trial. The next article is in Smack Talk, ARM IPO could be blocked by UK on national security grounds. The UK government is reportedly hinting it may use national security laws to force ARM to hold its IPO on the London markets instead of the US. ARM's current owner, SoftBank, has already faced problems from China over getting an IPO. That would see the processor design firm listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Now the UK is pressing for SoftBank to list ARM in London instead. Yeah, I'm not sure why that would matter which market. in terms of national security, but okay. William Gallagher is the, I mean, between the UK and the US, I mean, it's it's not going to be an issue in terms of national security. But okay, maybe they're not going to disclose what the national security issue is. But according to the Financial Times, the UK government has considered using powers under its new National Security and Investment Act, but it has not formally done so. Instead, an unspecified source involved says that the UK is so far using carrots instead of sticks over the issue. Internally, the UK government is divided over using NSIA regulation because it's debatable whether they even apply. Yeah, it's a financial instrument that doesn't give you absolute control over a company. And the IPO is owned by the shareholders and everybody within the company. So I don't quite get it. The government does not own Arm. Right? SoftBank does not have to pick a listing venue for some months yet, and it's possible that it will adopt a dual listing. The Financial Times said that it would be seen as a win for UK, which following Brexit and government policies is seen as less attractive for technology companies. Yeah, I can't imagine isolating oneself from an economic pact does not bode well for companies. Let's go on to the next article. I may save this talking about Cramer until the weekend, and then I'll kick off the Hatch Ideas business transformation show on the weekend. That was my intent, is to do it on Saturday and then rerun it on Sunday, but they've gotten rid of reruns on Twitch. At least I don't see the ability as a non-partner. So again, follow Bonk. Come on over to Twitch and follow me, please. I need to get to that 100% goal, and I screwed it all up because I stopped streaming regularly at 11 o'clock. But I need people to come and hang out and talk with me. I kind of get energized based off of that. So this next article is over in Mobile. New ultra thin capacitor could enable energy efficient microchips. The silicon-based computer chips that power our modern devices require vast amounts of energy to operate. But if they get thinner, then they don't have to do so much pushing of electrons. Rachel Berkowitz, Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, is the author of this article over at phys.org. The holy grail for reducing this digital demand is to develop microelectronics that operate at a much lower voltage, which would require less energy and is a primary goal of efforts to move beyond today's state-of-the-art CMOS, complementary metal oxide semiconductor devices. Non-silicon materials with enticing properties for memory and logic exist, but their common bulk form still requires large voltages to manipulate, making them incompatible for modern electronics. So designing thin-film alternatives that not only perform well at low operating voltages, but can also be packed into microelectronic devices remains a challenge. So maybe they've created a new ultra-thin capacitor that's able to be more energy efficient. Hey, and then that PS5 Slim that we talked about yesterday, that was made by a YouTuber, would be even smaller. Pretty awesome. Follow the link through Ohmtown over to phys.org. The next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel. A Massachusetts ice cream shop owner is still struggling to retain staff to combat one-hour lines, despite offering an average salary of $20 plus bonuses. A Massachusetts ice cream parlor has one-hour lines, paying six new workers. Oh, the owner said 3 out of 6 new workers recently quit, leaving him with a shortfall of staff. He added that it's been hard to find to train staff properly during the busiest season of the year. Customers have waited 1 hour. You know, maybe it's not the lack of being able to hire, but if you're churning through, you know, Amazon levels of employees, maybe there's something else going on here. Businessinsider.com wrote about it, and it's written by Kate Duffy. $20 an hour plus bonuses. I think there has to be something more to this. Now there are around 8 people scooping ice cream, but Lauren said that there's still long wait lines outside Polar Caves ice cream that can be 45 minutes long. Lauren said it's been difficult to train staff properly. And there's so much more to just scooping ice cream that we are not up to full speed and lines are still long. Really? They've suffered labor shortage. Okay, since the beginning of the pandemic, Polar Cave has suffered from a labor shortage, unlike other small and large companies at the U.S. As the Great Resignation took its toll, many staff quit their jobs because of low salaries, few benefits, and poor working conditions. The shortfall of workers in the pandemic forced Lawrence to cut Polar Cave's operating hours from 7 days a week down to 4. That's why you have hour-long lines. You know, an owner, typically, when things like this happen, is they're busting their hump 12 hours a day, and they're in there. So maybe there's other concerns. I'd love to, you know, hire me. I will come and talk to you about what might be the problem, because you're going to have to look at a little bit more holistic perspective of your enterprise there, Lawrence. Lawrence, who works every day in the shop is open, said it is unrealistic for him to pay a staff $25 an hour and provide benefits such as health insurance and housing when he runs a small business. Yeah. You know what? You're right. So you're going to have to deal with 1 hour long lines, because it isn't a small business. If you got 1 hour long lines, there's something wrong with your business model. The next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel. Meta promises the DOJ it will build a new ad targeting algorithm that doesn't discriminate against people. Yeah, I find that highly suspect. Meta has promised in a settlement with the Department of Justice to rebuild its ad targeting systems by the end of the year so that it doesn't discriminate against people. Isabel Asher Hamilton is the author of the article over at businessinsider.com. And Meta has until December 31st to replace its current system with a new non-discriminatory one. Yeah, if it's machine learning and artificially intelligent and learns to be discriminatory, it will continue to be discriminatory. And then you're going to somehow tweak it. But it will keep on tilting back towards discriminatory. But there has to be a rationale as to why. As technology rapidly evolves, companies like Meta have a responsibility to ensure their algorithmic tools are not used in a discriminatory manner. Well, it's always profit-seeking, so, I mean, it's going to be discriminatory towards wherever the wealth is, and it's not going to weight itself by saying, oh, well, this is discriminatory, so let me lower my return on investment. I'm not seeing this as being something that could be enforceable. It's quite interesting. I'd love to know about the law behind it. So we'll have to take a look. The next article is Ivanka Trump claimed to believe Trump's false voter fraud theories, but later told January 6th that she didn't. And there's this talk about if you believe it, what is this? Is this Disney? Is this actually a Disney story? If you believe that the election was stolen, then that's legal foundation for you attempting a coup. You're bananas. That's not how life works. If you think that there was fraud, then, and you have copious amounts of it, post it publicly. Let the world vet it. Let the world look at it. Then when you have to litigate it, suddenly it vanishes. Where is all of this proof? There is no proof. You're bananas if you believe that the election was stolen. The New York Times obtained footage of a previously unseen Ivanka Trump interview from December 2020. In it, she said that Trump should continue to fight the 2020 election results. Her comments seem to directly contradict what she told the January 6th committee earlier this year. Yeah, because they're going to do whatever they can. to keep their butts out of jail. The next article, or sorry, this article was written by Aaron Snodgrass. And let's see. Her comments, yeah, because she said that she knew that it was all a lie. And as far as I know, I respect Attorney General Barr, so I accepted what he was saying because Barr said that it was not true. It was wrong. That Trump's claims of election fraud were wrong. So, but according to New York Times, Ivanka Trump told the documentary filmmaker Alex Holder on December 10th, 2020, 9 days after Barr made the assessment that supposedly swayed her, that she supported her father's efforts to challenge the 2020 election results. I think that, as the president has said, every single vote needs to be counted and needs to be heard, and he campaigned for that voiceless, or for the voiceless. No, this is all bunk, because there were more votes for the Democratic side. Suddenly, these fundamentalist, wingnut, fascist, wannabe dictators are screaming that Trump is the winner, and that's not what happened. These trunks of Democrat votes, blah, 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 and all of the spikes of voting election data, you're ignorant of the context of it. And the full video shows that the same box was used to hold the votes in a secure fashion and then taken back out to be processed. And the same thing happened with the vote numbers that spike during the night is because it's a batch process where the votes get counted after all of the information has been gathered from disparate locations. Gone are the days of farmers from around the world coming to one location and sticking their thumb on something. You guys, it's the 21st century. Let's keep moving forward, you regressives. Holder interviewed several people close to Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Ivanka Trump, Donald Trump Jr., Eric Trump, Jared Kushner, after the 2020 election. All of them. Good luck. Go to jail. And finally, the last article. And yes, I am going to hold off. I've got a meeting that I need to attend. So I'm going to be talking about Jim Cramer on the weekend. Research uncovers digital poverty across Northwest rural communities. And this is over in the UK. So let's just click the link. It's in the Word in Tech, but it takes us over to phys.org and Lancaster University. New research features in a new Work Foundation policy briefing published today and is based on a survey of more than 500 people living in rural communities in Northwest between February and March 2022, as well as 16 in-depth interviews. It finds that while 95% of residents have access to internet, only a quarter feel able to make the most of it. A significant proportion of people lack digital confidence, a risk missing out on key services and employment opportunities. In particular, 26% of rural residents are not confident in applying for jobs online, and 23% are unable to confidently make video calls via Zoom or Microsoft Teams. Now, Microsoft Teams is a pain in the butt, but Zoom is almost drop-dead simple. Mash the button, it will run, either in a browser or in the app. That's why it's so successful, because it doesn't have any of the bloat that's associated with Microsoft products. To get around the problem, one in five say that they would have to ask family or friend for help, which was a particular problem for older participants and those in lower incomes and rural in general. But this is something that you either have to embrace and learn or suffer the consequences of not being engaged. Gone are the days where you can be happy on the farm, but you know, some people still want to exploit society without being engaged in society. Shocker, I know. Back to sociopathy. Pardon me one second. Okay, well, anyway, that is the end of the Hometown Daily News Show today. And like always, I mashed the button. I had a problem earlier today, but it was resolved in short order. I don't know if it's going to spring back up. But it's really a matter of my infrastructure is not robust enough. And I'll have to redress it in some way in time. Okay, well, that's it for today. Again, I'm Marowat. Thank you for coming over and hanging out, or at least listening to this via YouTube or the podcast or here on Twitch. There's nobody in my chat. But anyway, thanks again, and I'll see you tomorrow, 11 o'clock. Bye-bye.